Welcome to That's Feminism, Bro. I'm your host, Bridget Van Buskirk, and together we explore diverse voices in modern female strength. Thanks so much for joining me. Call it what you want to call it. Today's going to be all over the map. A conglomerate, a hodgepodge, a grab bag. Just a couple short thoughts to send you on your weekend because we're running a little bit behind schedule this week. And that's it. We're on our way. One of the first things I wanted to say, though, is off topic, but I was just driving around with the kids today and listening to the news, which I don't usually do. It was just the traffic report. And usually I just have the radio off or I've got podcasts or whatever. So I never hear the traffic report. But I live in Dayton, local to Dayton, small, regional, nothing big. This is not a big city. And this was at 3:45, so it wasn't even like traffic time. But they reported 4 accidents. The weather's fine. There's nothing exciting going on. There's no big concerts, nothing, no reason. Just 4 accidents in the Dayton area around 3:45 p.m. I know that's not a huge idea. And I don't even know if these accidents were catastrophic or maybe just enough to justify a little bit of a slow in traffic. And they shared it with the local radio stations. But it did catch me off guard that life and time are sacred. Whether it was big or small, someone's day was definitely rocked. Most likely, 2 people's day were definitely rocked. And maybe they have to deal with the fallout for just the next couple hours while they're waiting for a tow truck, or they have to explain it to their mom or apologize to whomever or eat a little crow. Maybe it goes on for a couple days as they go back and forth with insurance and they have to take pictures. And maybe it goes on for a couple weeks because they've got to get a rental car. Maybe they have to look into buying a new car, or maybe they have to swing by the emergency room and that's a day eaten and bills to be paid. Or maybe, and this is the bad one, maybe there was loss of life and somebody's living with the fact that somebody lost their life because of their decisions as a driver. Or maybe somebody is rocking from a loss of life. And it's just, you never know. Everybody woke up this morning. At least, you know, those 2 drivers woke up this morning and went about their regular biz. And then bam, literally, everything changed. So I felt that pretty viscerally today, mostly because there was an incident last week at the gym. I teach at the gym, so I'm CPR certified, and I'm got all my credentials, but I've never really had to use much of anything. I think I've maybe done CPR once in the past 2 decades, and mostly it's just people that get overheated and you just take care of them. I wasn't around when this happened, but somebody had a heart attack and they passed away. And I don't know this person all that well, more than just a hello in the mornings, but it was a fit, healthy person who I saw at the gym at least 5 days a week for at least the past 3 years, gave a hello to, made some small talk. Hey, I like your shirt. Hey, you know, can I use this machine? Are you almost done? Nothing big. And just like that, that person's gone though. And if that's what I'm feeling, then there are people that are feeling it so much more profoundly, people that had a connection to that life. It just gets you thinking like, well, what was the last thing that everybody said to each other? And what's the next last thing that I could leave people with? And wake up to the idea that life is really, really precious. If you didn't hear about the SCOTUS leak, then you're probably hearing about it now. Again, life is so, so precious and so valuable. And I have seen so many people up in arms saying that we will not go back. That's the phrase. We will not go back. We will not go back. But we are back. We are back in this archaic time where you get to sacrifice babies for your own enjoyment, for your own, to your gods, your god of wealth or your god of relationship or whatever it is that you want to live and this baby's going to get in the way of. We just do this barbaric ritual that used to exist in, you know, long ago cultures where we just have human sacrifice. So we are already back. We can't go back any further than that. We need to move forward. And I keep reading people say, I'm not, you know, pro-death, but I am pro-Susie, and Susie had this happen to her and needs an abortion. And then they end with, I am pro-life, I am pro-Susie's life, and they name all these hypothetical scenarios, which statistically are incredibly unlikely, if even possible at all anymore. And they've failed to talk, they've somehow decided that one life is more valuable than another. And we're all playing God, and we've just lost sight of morality and how precious life is. Because yes, Susie's life is precious. And yes, Susie might have a more challenging life than Susie anticipated because maybe forces were at work against her or maybe she made poor decisions. And now Susie might have to deal with those repercussions at least for the 9 months until she gives the baby up for adoption. But this response that this thing needs to still exist, that this barbaric, I don't know, murder needs to exist for Susie to be happy and for all of us to celebrate womanhood. It's so disturbed and broken. Anyway, so life is precious, whether you are getting up and hopping in your car and you don't know whether today's fender bender, and I've been in a couple of those fender benders where it's not like anything really happened, but man, that adrenaline starts going and you're shaking and you're shook up and just everything just gets really real for about 30 seconds. And then, I don't know, 3 weeks later, you forget all about it and you're back to just getting caught in the mundane. So take a pause for a minute, especially because today is National Day of Prayer. Take a pause for a minute and contemplate all of the gifts that you've been given in your life right now and how valuable you are as a human being and your worth as a woman in this world right now that is so volatile and so against you, and how important your role is, whether you are mother or mentor or friend or coworker. You have such an important role to play, even if you don't know it yet. So just make sure that you give a little bit of time today to appreciate where you are and then to ask for a little bit of clarity as to where you need to go to make sure that you are maximizing this life that you are living. So it is National Day of Prayer. I was trying to look up the history because I had seen something pop up on social media and I couldn't find it anymore, but it said that it came back after maybe it was like a Civil War battle, or maybe it was a Revolutionary War battle that they said we're going to pause on May, I think it was 11th back then. But I couldn't find that much history on it. I did find that it was turned into Congress in 52 and then officially in 79. And so it has been going along for a long time. It was actually President Washington who originally called for the National Day of Prayer and Thanksgiving, but that was what became Thanksgiving. So then again in the 80s, Congress voted and designated this first Thursday of May to be the National Day of Prayer. The cool thing about it, and I don't know if this is true for all national days, National Hot Dog Day, National All These Days, but the cool thing about the National Day of Prayer is that the president is actually required by law to sign it into proclamation each year, encouraging all Americans to pray on this day. So I think that's really cool. It's not something that we just have been carrying over. It's something that somebody has to cognizantly sit down and, is that a word, cognizantly? I don't know. Consciously was the word I was thinking of. Sit down, fill out a paper, have somebody sign it, have it go through all of the channels. Like this is important enough that this is a formal moment in our country year over year. So make sure that you take advantage of it. So I don't know, back to our grab bag, you know, we just here at That's Feminism Bro, we try to really create a place where real feminists can come together and talk about what it means to be a real woman and what women's rights really looks like in 2022. And it is so drastically different what women's rights looks like here in America as opposed to what women's rights looks like in other countries where you are forbidden from having a certain amount of children or practicing a certain religion or wearing a certain article of clothing. We live in a free country and we are sovereign women, and that is so empowering. And we are equal under the land of the law. There is no law in place that does not or forbid women from anything. So we are very much equals. Now we're getting so caught up, especially because we are so equal under the law, that we are creating this like cultural equality, or I don't know, like societal equality. I don't know what the word is, but and it's convoluted. It's almost like we're looking for a problem and we're trying to create it. And it was never more obvious than when this document was leaked and all of a sudden all these people are saying bodily autonomy. And it's like, wait a second, you're the same people that were telling me I needed to get a shot. You're the same people that just told me that I can't identify a gender. You know, you're literally one of the Supreme Court justices that said she did not know what a woman was. And now she's fighting for women's rights. It's it's so frivolous and silly. But it's Mother's Day coming up. So I do know what a woman is, and I do know what it takes to be a good woman in our culture. I'm not there yet, but I at least have a lot of stepping stones and roadmaps to help guide me there. And some of them are personal, people I know, women I know that I look up to, and some of them are bigger than me, you know, people across cultures and times that I look up to. So since I understand what it means to be a woman, I'm happy to say Happy Mother's Day to you women that have born children, or that, you know, that are one day want to bear children. And for you pregnant mamacitas, you are a mother. It happened. It happened the second you conceived. So get out and celebrate, because you got this one. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for the baby. I want to shout out to my mom. She birthed 12 kiddos. She's always been really stoic and strong and supportive of her husband. She was such a good role model of what a wife looked like. But she was also like loyal and disciplined and frankly unrelenting in raising her children to be courageous and moral men and women. But in my opinion, her greatest gift for sure was showing me what partnership and equality looks like in a marriage, and what a marriage looks like, what the covenant, what the sacrament, what the legal, all of it, the understanding of what a deep marriage and bond looks like. She taught me really what love should feel like and the merits of finding a mate. And Mom has always said, you want to find someone who can help you save your soul and allow you to have fun on the journey. And that is the greatest piece of advice, and the one that I followed when I found my guy who works with me to keep me on the path of righteousness and helps me to save my soul. But we are also having an awful lot of fun on our journey. So shout out to all you mamas out there. And just, you know, when you're thinking about moms and women and what it means to be a good woman, it's, I mean, I know we've heard the adage before that you are what you consume. That is so true. So surround yourself with the type of people that you never be the smartest person in the room is what they say. But always surround yourself with the type of people that make you want to be better. I have a really cool life because I teach. I teach like a substitute teach in the school systems. I'm opening up a school, so I get to be with kiddos there, and I get to interact with parents there. And at the gym, I teach fitness classes, and then I do this little gig. So I talk a lot. I get to talk to people a lot, and this is maybe egotistical, but I get to talk to people and I don't even know if they're listening. So I get to just kind of rant a little bit to people. So when you're in a cycle class or a fitness class and you're lifting those heavy weights and swinging that kettlebell and you're falling apart, I can just talk a little bit. I can kind of get you through that last 90 second hold or whatever it is with some short, I don't know, anecdotes. Sometimes it's, I don't know whether you like them or not, frankly, because you're too fatigued to talk back. But over the course of decades of living this way, of having this opportunity to kind of have an audience that can't go anywhere, I've probably told people a lot about myself, maybe even unwittingly. Like, I just am trying to get through this one challenging aspect of the fitness class, so I tell this short comical story of something cute that one of my toddlers did. And I never know what sticks, and I never even know who listens, but I hope that I cause a little bit of ease for that brief moment, and I hope that I create a little bit of a community so that people want to come back, and I hope that somebody looks at somebody else and mumbles something else to them, and then they get together, and then they stick together, and they work out together. So I hope in some way that all these words that I just spew out into the void mean something to somebody, and they create something with them, maybe for or against them. It doesn't even really matter to me. But the cool thing about my doing this is now I'm starting to see that sometimes people do listen, and sometimes they like it, and sometimes they don't like it, and they give me feedback. And that was always a thing on the report card, like accepts, what was that thing on your grade school report card? Takes criticism or accepts correction? I always got a good score. I do not take correction well. I am very bad at it. I was always really excited when I got a good score on that part of the report card because it meant that I was good at faking it. But for sure, the second somebody corrects me, I'll put a smile on and I'll shake my head and I'll say, I understand or what you're saying is, and I'll do all the things that they teach you to do in all the books. And then I'll go home and I will hate that person for a good 45 minutes and I'll explain to myself why they're wrong and what they didn't understand and what they didn't see. And sometimes I'll completely ignore that person. But I think that because I do this so much, I'm getting so much feedback on the podcast. And sometimes even just at the end of class, someone will come up to me and say, oh, you know how you said your kids keep losing their retainer? This is what we did. So I get so much feedback from people. And I don't always take correction well, but I do always, it all does seep in. And I probably am such a better person because I have a decade's worth of people giving me these opinions that I even, you know, even if I don't take correction with grace, I'm probably still so much better off than if I never open my mouth at all. And a lot of times I love it. So it's silly. Like I was teaching my silver sneakers class before April Fool's and I was saying, oh, let's step out and do all our silver sneaker stuff. And I mentioned that April Fool's is coming up and I don't have any great ideas. Did not even remember mentioning it, frankly. Totally forgot about it. But at the end of class, I had three different people come up to me and say, what you got to do is... And that made the day so much fun because I didn't really have any ideas and I didn't really care about it. I was just trying to make conversation with 30, strange adult women and men in the room trying to get their exercise on. So I was really lucky that that people heard that and that they came back with that. And I can't tell you how much good advice I've gotten from situations like that where I'm just talking into a microphone and posting it into the internet's void and somebody hits me up with, you know, what you need to do is reach out to this or handle this way. And it's incredible. It's incredible how I've grown from you guys and from them in the gym and from all of these opportunities I've had to expose myself to people, even if it's just you think you're making small talk with the waitress, but they say something or they hear something from you, or it's such a gift. So when it comes to like kind of knowing the women that you surround yourself with and kind of knowing like you are who you hang out with, or you are what you consume, it's so true. And the more you put yourself out there, and I'm not a very put yourself out there kind of gal, but the more you put yourself out there, the more likely it is that you're going to get some home runs, that you're going to get some really good relationships, that you're going to get some really good feedback, that you're going to grow in some exponential ways because you just keep showing up and you just keep putting yourself out there. I heard somebody say today, you're the average of your five closest relationships. Okay, so it was basically you are what you consume kind of concept, but you are the average of your five closest relationships. So who are your five tightest friends? And like, what are their strengths and what are their weaknesses? And what are they giving to you and what are you giving to them? Because that's what you're going to be. That's all you're going to be if it's not really much. And maybe that is as much as you're capable of being if you surround yourself with awesome people. And it does. It always goes beyond that. Like you are the media that you consume. You are what you eat. You are where you live. You are a product of all of the choices that you make every day. And so if you are constantly, constantly around this negative influence, you are an average of that output. So make sure that you are constantly, constantly around growth and integrity and enthusiasm and engagement. And it doesn't have to be life-changing. Every one of your relationships doesn't have to be a profound, like a storyboard of, this moment and this moment. But if you're always surrounding yourself with somebody who you know doesn't invest a lot of energy into bringing others down, or somebody that you know spends a lot of time asking, how can I help? If you're always around people like that, you're going to be better. And if you're always willing to put yourself out there, you're going to be better. So this is all really selfish. You get to be a better person. These are ways to be a better person. Anyway, that is... That's the hodgepodge message for today. Nothing too crazy, but I hope you guys have a wonderful Mother's Day. I hope you have a moment to celebrate our National Day of Prayer. And I think you're awesome. That's all, guys. That's feminism, bro. Thanks for sitting in. I would love to hear from you. You can find me on social media with my Facebook, Bridget Van Busker, my Insta at That's Feminism Bro, or contact me via email, that's feminismbro@gmail.com, to ask any questions or concerns. If you'd like to support the show, I would totally appreciate that, and we can link up on Patreon. Please take a minute to review, subscribe, and share.